Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Cavern, newscast dated January 9th, 2015. Echoes from the Cavern is distributed by Style Tekel and is a joint podcast project ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Special guest tonight, Sir Style Tekel. How you doing there, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you, Lord Baldrith?
Doing great. Got to another Friday and another lovely weekend to play the game with and have some fun.
Yeah, it's disappointing the Asclepius couldn't make it tonight, but I'm glad to be here with you.
Oh, yeah, it's always great to talk to you. I think Asclepius got hung up on some internet troubles, so he's doing a little bit of taking a break.
Yeah, well, forced, but that's always frustrating, but it's still time off, which is good for him.
Yeah, it's always good to have a little bit of time off. Maybe you can just get some other things done, which is good for him. Well, it looks like we got update number 107 this week, and some really great stuff going on. And I also wanted to bring up that we did hit the 5.5 million mark on dollars raised, which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Can't wait to see it get to 10, but I love seeing it climbing.
Yeah, I'd love to see 10. That'd really make it so we could put a lot more features into the game that we've been hoping for.
I think right before launch of episode 1, right before release, I think big numbers. We'll all be surprised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think once people start seeing the game story coming together and the bigger world that we're going to get to see eventually, I think that'll bring in a lot more people.
That, I think you just have a lot out there that are waiting until they're actually going to be able to.
Yeah, people, I notice, don't like testing. They get really frustrated, so that's a lot of people are probably just taking a break.
Yeah, I'm not a huge tester myself, to be honest. Yeah, I enjoy doing a little bit of it, but not as much as I'm seeing some people do. It's really impressive, the commitment they have on how hard and thoroughly they do some of their.
Yeah, I get real surprised how many write-ups or how many bug reports that people put in. It's like, wow, these guys are really getting deep. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's what the game needs, and it's finding the things that we don't want to be issues later. And the beauty of it is, you know, one of those bugs that they're reporting might be associated to another 100 that weren't reported, and by fixing one, great stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That one could lead to finding a whole bunch of other problems, so they can get a bunch of stuff worked out on one shot. Well, we can go through the list here. I'll run through the list and we'll talk about them. We've got the number one most anticipated game of 2015 in 10 Ton Hammer Reader's Choice Awards. Soda at CES. Shroud of the Avatar, A Year of Portalarium, 2014 in review. Release 14 Grand Tour Quest Reward. The Hennin. Air Elemental. Dragon Pass Progress. Avatar Chronicles 1, Return of the Avatar Special Developer Edition, In-Game Community, Weekend Events, Last Chance Exclusives, The Sickle and Village Ring of Stones, Steam Access Keys Available for All Backers, How to Cancel Monthly Payment Plans, The Week in the News, and Upcoming Events. So we can start out with the MMORPG Player Choice Award for Most Anticipated MMO of 2015. Looks like Shroud of the Avatar made number one on that. That's just great.
Huzzah!
Awesome job,
really
there,
loud
buddy.
If I wasn't at home, I feel nearby, but the excitement is there.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe the dedication we have on this game. We just knocked everybody out of the water. Even the big-name games got beat by Shroud of the Avatar. That's just awesome.
What's really beautiful to see about that is, you know, that's not only happening there, but, you know, it's happening on MMORPG as the next piece we're about to get into. Fantastic about that is when that's happening with those sites, the sites that you go to, and if you read the comments people post, and if you read forums, they're vicious, and they're very negative, and they're vicious. But with those votes taking place at those levels, that's shown that there's also a lot of mature people there with open minds that are really looking at it and thinking about it. And the fact that we are winning these sort of votes for Shroud of the Avatar means that we could see what I want.
Yeah, that's right. I think the more spotlight we can get on Shroud of the Avatar, the more people will want to check the game out. So it's all win-win for sure. And I was just reading through the details of this. Let me just see what we got here. It says, winning these Reader's Choice Awards is extremely valuable in helping spread the word about Shroud of the Avatar and our passionate community to those people who haven't heard of us yet. We really appreciate all of you that responded to the request earlier this week to vote in the MMORPG Player's Choice Awards. You quickly drove us to within 4 points of EverQuest Next at the number one spot. But the competition has been fierce over the past couple of days. We've slid to the number four spot behind EverQuest Next, Black Desert, and Warhammer. And it would be awesome if we could make this a three-peat. So I guess we didn't win the MMORPG one, but we won the other ones they were looking at.
Right. Yeah, the Reader's Best Choice in... what's the other one? I think it's Massively's. I can't call it.
Yeah, that's right. Massively. Yeah.
Yeah, it's we just got the, you know, two down, one to go, and I voted a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was voting more than once a day on that first one I started voting on. Then I had to register to vote on the MMORPG one. I was just noticing we were starting to catch up to the number one. I think we were in second place last I looked, but I don't know if we slipped down a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely have a little movement. I think the key thing is, though, is we're going to be in the top 10. There's no doubt about that.
Oh yeah, and that's impressive to be giving EverQuest Next a run for their money, because those guys, that's a huge game as far as dollars they've got there, and there's a lot of following on that game. So if we can keep up with them, that just says a lot about our game.
Absolutely.
Well, it looks like Richard and Star went to CES, and they had some interviews and stuff there. Did you get a chance to watch any of those?
I have not. Not yet. They're all in my inbox right now.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's hard to keep up. I was kind of just taking a overview of what I'd seen on the forums about it. It was some very good information. I had heard it looked like Richard got sick during the trip, so I was hoping he's feeling better.
He's actually been 6 weeks now.
Oh, he's been sick for that long?
Yeah, he's been sick for about 6 weeks. Right before, I think it would, he was sick before Christmas. Yeah, about 6 weeks.
That's terrible. I hope it's nothing serious. 6 weeks is a long time to be sick.
On his second round of antibiotics, from what I understand.
Ugh. I hope it gets cleared up quick. That sucks to be running around and sick.
Yeah, that stuff tears up your gut, too.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. It looks like there's Shroud of the Avatar, a Year of Portalarium 2014 in review. Golem Dragon posted an amazing article on the Ultima Codex site entitled Shroud of the Avatar, a Year of Portalarium 2014 in review. He starts the article by saying, as Kenneth likes to do a year in review posts on Ultima Codex, he and I are both pleased to bring you Shroud of the Avatar, a Year of Portalarium 2014 in review, in which we look at the news and at the articles related to Richard Garriott, Portalarium, and Lord LB Soda that came out in the last year. As you can see, we have everything organized monthly. Enjoy. So it sounds like those guys are doing a lot of good work over there, reviewing the whole year of our game.
Yeah, that's something they did last year too, and it was a fantastic piece last year. It's a fantastic piece this year. I haven't read the full thing, but I did pop over earlier today and skimmed it. I know I'm always excited to see it because running a blog site, I should probably do a yearly review. I don't have to. I can just say, hey, look at this one. so
that's a lot easier, isn't it?
Yeah, it allows me to cheat and let them do the work, and I wouldn't do half the job they do on these things.
Yeah, they're really talented over there. I've looked at some of Golem Dragon's writing. He does a really good job on that website.
Yeah, they got it. It's a good team. It's a great team.
Yeah. And it looks like they're giving us a preview of the new Release 14 Grand Tour quest item, and it's called a Henin. Almost looks like some kind of a genie hat or something.
You know, I heard through the rumor mill, and I hope I don't get yelled at for sharing this, but I heard through the rumor mill that Amber Rain is absolutely horrified that it's pink.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. She doesn't like the color pink, does she?
She's not happy about the chosen color of that hat. And I think there have been threats of not logging into R14.
Well, she can always earn the hat and then sell it. And in the same vein with the tour R13 Grand Quest Tour hat, there's a new one coming up for Release 14. So, the R13 hat will end around January 29th, so make sure you get that. And the Mad Hermit has a great guide to get us that hat done. And did you get your hat too?
I used his guide to do my hat quest.
That's awesome. It wasn't too bad this release. I didn't have as much trouble as I've had before.
I had a little bit of trouble with the trainer down there in the mines, being behind the deer in the treasure chest, but combined with that and the heavy spawn, but Gabriel Nightshadow popped in and helped me out with that, so that was, it worked out.
Oh, that was good. I know Gabriel's been working really hard on his character, so he was probably a big help.
Well, that, and I was like level 9.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
You haven't had much time, have you?
I'm trying to do this transition of going from these out of game projects, and then I'm going more into the game, and I got a backlog, and it's I'm making progress, but it's taking longer than I thought to clear it. So I'm hoping by R14, let's see, January 9th, I might make R14. I'm going to be optimistic and say I'll be have all my loose ends wrapped up by then, and playing pretty heavy in R14, but it may be 15. I'm going to hope for 14.
Yeah, they're supposedly bringing banking and all those kind of things in 14 and encumbrance, so that'll be a very good test for us.
The important thing is I'll get them tied up before episode 1 releases, and I'll have enough time to get in and play things and get to meet people I don't know and get to know people better and make some friends and that sort of thing. I'll have enough time. I might be missing some of the releases now, but I'll still get all those goals accomplished, and I'll still be able to get an E1. And more important for me is my time when E1 comes out. I won't have to worry about making this transition I got 7 projects that I'm in the middle of.
Yeah, boy, that's killing you, huh?
Well, they caught me off guard. We weren't expecting Persistence quite yet, and Persistence got really launched when it did because of Steam, and at least I wasn't expecting it yet. I thought we had a few months to go. Right when they went Persistent was the same time that I was working 60-hour weeks at work helping a friend that had hernia surgery, and right after I just finished a hernia surgery and was trying to catch up on my stuff in life. It was a huge backlog right when we went Persistent, and I'm just trying to dig my way out of it still. Still haven't gotten to enjoy the Persistent yet. But I'm happy about it. It's great. I'm looking forward to really diving into some of that stuff that everyone's enjoying. I get in on occasion, but currently I feel I have more of an obligation and responsibility to myself and people I work with or people that want to work with me to wrap up these loose ends. And, you know, I'm not taking on any new projects really. Just trying to wrap up all these existing ones and get them in. To where, you know, I can spend half hour a day to keep things going, and the rest of the time I can game.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the game is starting to come together, so it's just going to get better and better each release.
It's fantastic. Every time I jump in, it's amazing. And I've been in a lot more than my level would indicate, since my focus right now is more community projects and that sort of thing. I actually don't go out a lot and get experience a lot when I am in games.
That's true. It takes a lot of dedication to actually raise levels, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm kind of more of the of one of our popular community members, Smack's philosophy, where, you know, he gets in the game and he plays the game, but he's got a strong standpoint right now that he's not going to explore until episode one, because he wants to explore with the story. And I'm kind of on the same mindset. I don't mind moving around a little bit, but I'm not doing much with the story. And, you know, I want to understand how the mechanics of the game work, how to do things without seeing too much of the content yet.
Yeah, that's where I am, too. I'm not doing the quests either, because I'd rather save them for when the game's actually launching, so I'm not already bored of them or
exactly.
You know, done them 100 times, you know?
Yeah.
And I know some of the quests that are in-game are the kind of samplers anyway. They might not even be in the game.
They'll probably change up a little bit. Speaking of the quests, did you see that Ender Andrew's doing the NPC dialogue for all the non-main NPCs? Lum's still doing the main NPC, but the core NPCs. But then I guess all your excess NPCs, Ender Andrew's doing all the dialogue for them.
Yeah, I was quite excited to hear that, because I know Andrew, he knows a lot about the story and stuff, so he should do a good job on the characters.
Yeah, definitely. Good choice for it. I think he'll do a great job.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, we have a new air elemental. And
that's beautiful.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It stands apart from all other air elementals, and what I mean by that is, you know, I've played first edition D&D, second edition D&D, fourth edition D&D, Mage, White Wolf, name a system, I've played it. I've looked at thousands of monster, pages of monster books in my lifetime. I've played many, many video games. I've never seen an air elemental that looks anything like that. Yet, you look at it and you still say air elemental. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that shows the degree the degree of detail they put into it, and aside from that, the unique look of the air elemental.
When I look at this and I see that red ribbon that wraps up and around that air elemental with all the runes on it, I see, okay, this was a material component used in casting the spell, and it became part of the spell, is kind of the visual I feel when I see that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I notice they put the runes on several of the elementals, which does make it consistent, which is cool.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, and I like the aspect that they've made an elemental a female, which is unusual to see in an elemental, so that's cool, too.
Absolutely. I think I may have a miniature that's a female elemental, air elemental. I might have to, if I have one or not. I think I do.
Yeah, I wonder if that has anything to do with lore, you know, the sex of the elementals, if there are certain ones like that, or if they have both.
If not, it does now.
That's right. We've got it in our game now. That's cool.
Yep.
Looks like they've put together some earth elementals and some ice elementals.
Ice and golems.
Oh, they're really cool looking, too. So they've got ice elementals. It looks to me like the ice elemental and the golem are very similar looking.
All three of them are, and I'm sure what they did on those, which I have nothing against, mind you, is they came up with basically a template and then made some modifications to it, the three versions to reduce labor.
Yeah, it all works good. It says they'll be appearing in release 14 and 15, so next release we'll get to see some of these. This will be really cool. And it looks like we're talking some more about the Dragon Pass progress. Last week we showed Andy Cortez's work in progress of the Dragon's Pass sculptures based on Stephen Danelli's concept art. Andy made significant progress during the weekend. Here is a game shot of the latest version.
Looks fantastic.
Oh man, these graphics are amazing to me. I kind of got a little fight on the forums myself because I get tired of hearing it. The game is, you know, need better graphics, blah, blah, blah. To me, the game, to me, looks better than any game I've ever played. And I play a lot of games. I've played good games with good graphics and games with bad graphics. But to me, the game we have here is beautiful.
It looks great. What I really like about this picture is the dragons actually look like they're carved out of the rocks. And the textures know, are they match perfectly. The grains of the stone, if you will, it looks like they're carved out of those formations rather than statues that were placed there.
That's right. It's not just some picture they grabbed from somewhere and dropped it in. No, this was actually done, you know, piece by piece with artist work. It's just awesome.
Great. Looks great.
Yeah. And it looks like we have some news on the Avatar Chronicles 1, Return of the Avatar Special Developer Edition coming out here.
That should be of particular interest to it.
Yeah. Let me just read this article from the Soda Forum. The New Britannia Theater Troupe, along with AvatarsRadio.com and TheCaverns.net, are proud to present a theatrical voice presentation of astronomical proportions, the long-awaited sequel to Once Upon a Time Lord, The Avatar Chronicles 1, Return of the Avatar, Special Developer's Edition, coming to an Aether Vibration Amplifier near you, Saturday, January 17th, 2015, at 11 a.m. Central Time. And the story goes, set on another New Britannia in a parallel universe, this saga chronicles the adventures of an unlikely group of heroes who have banded together to save their realm from dark forces which threaten its very existence. So there are 30 amazing voice actors from our very own community, 4 of the community favorite developers, Richard Garriott, Star Long, Fire Lotus, and Stephen Danielli. Hundreds of hours of work all come together to bring the community one of the most epic-sized productions to be entered into the history books. We invite you all to join us on Saturday, January 17, 2015, in the Church of the Dark Star in Pax Lair, Veilmark, in the Hidden Veil, and on Avatars Radio for a fantastic listening party. Be one of among your friends to say that we were there when this happened. And the Avatar Chronicles 1 Return of the Avatar Special Developer Edition. The heroes look forward to seeing you there. Sir Style Tekel is also holding a contest during this event for great prizes. You will need to be listening in order to win. Among these prizes are dice from great community groups such as the New Britannia Theater Troupe, TheCaverns.net, and the Round Table. Grand prize will be randomly drawn from a list of entrants who answers all the questions correctly. This grand prize will be 1 foil print shield of the Avatar, signed by Lord British. Be sure to be listening to Avatars Radio and keep a watch on thecaverns.net and the Shroud of the Avatar forums for further information, contest rules, and the questions to be answered to enter into the grand prize drawing. So that is awesome news.
Well, you know what that whole piece reminds me of, Lord Baldrith? Really long document I need typed out and proofread really well and published with the contest rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was actually working on that before we started recording, so going back to that when we're done.
So, did you actually type that up?
No, not that post. The contest rules or the contest stuff that I got to.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that contest, and I'm really looking forward to the listening party. I look forward to actually hearing our play in-game. That, to me, is quite exciting.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fantastic. I look forward to doing it.
Yeah, and so that's on the 17th, so I have to definitely make sure we're available. I guess we'll have to put off anything we're going to be going to on that day for sure.
It'll take quite a bit to keep me from the amount of work that we have. Given this as a group rules is huge. It's just across the board. It's an exciting thing to have happen. I can't wait.
That's like they're gonna do it all in one shot, right? It's like 5 hours, isn't it?
3 hours and something. 2:50. 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Okay, that's not as long as I remember then. Okay, cool.
I believe that's the final count. I could be wrong. Don't hold me to it.
Yeah, I just remember my long Audacity file, and it used to take about 20 minutes to load up and save. It was scary. I had several copies of it.
Yeah, you did some amazing work on that, painstakingly weaving what really amounts to every single word recorded by every individual that partook in that one long that matched the scripts, and amazing amount of patience on that. Fantastic.
Yeah, we had fun doing that. It was hard getting the voices to match the, you know, make the the voice is all the same volume and the music sound right. And I know Asclepius did a lot of work on that music part of it, but I did the music for the first segment and he did all the rest of the music. And fitting music together, that was also, I got to give Gabriel a shout out for that because he picked all the music. There's quite a few songs involved in that, like 50 or so. So it's really full of great music too.
Yeah, the amount of time he put into selecting the music was phenomenal. But, you know, really, when you think about it, he was the right person for it because no one's going to understand what music that you're trying to portray better than the person that's trying to portray it.
That's right. He knows the mood and everything about it. So it's really good that he did choose the music for it. So he got what he was looking for.
Amazing thing to listen to, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm really impressed by the music that we get off that free site we use. It's just beautiful music. Let's see, we're moving on. We got some in-game weekend community events. They have these great events that they announce each weekend. So for this weekend, we got Saturday, January 10th, 9 a.m., a PAX Lair working hours, host Winfield in Veilmark, 11 a.m., Church of the Dark Star in PAX Lair Veilmark, 1 p.m., we have Port Phoenix Storytelling Event in the Port Phoenix Fairgrounds in Kingport City Center, or Zone Caslin Phoenix Fire, and on Sunday, January 11th at 5:30 a.m., explore Novia with Royal Sexy in the Owl's Head Entrance, 1 p.m., Cage Fight with Bets, watch the forums for details, at 3 p.m., we got Vengeance 3x3 Tournament Dollars, Vengeant Castle in the Brave Coast, and 7 p.m., we have a PAX Lair meeting, Zone to Winfield, and at 8 p.m., there's Fishing with Winfield, and at some lake or pond, so Zone to Winfield for that one. So it sounds like some fun stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait until we can actually fish. It'll be really fantastic then, events like that where you can just group up with people, sit around, talk, get to know them, and then do something productive at the same time.
Well, that's for sure. That's one of my favorite things in a game is just fishing and, you know, the odd chance to catch some awesome item, you know, that's what makes fishing so much fun.
Absolutely.
And it looks like we've got some last chance exclusives. The Sickle of Prosperity is going away. And also the Ring of Stones, the Village Ring of Stones is going away. So those two items will not be available after this week. And let's see, it says that they're only available. It doesn't tell you when they end, but I think they usually end on the following Friday. So try to grab those if you want them. And,
yeah, I'm still thinking about the stones. I don't know.
Yeah, the Village Ring of Stone is definitely unique. It's just you have to sacrifice a house on your village plot to put it up. So it just depends on if you got any extra village lots you could put it on.
Well, either that or if eventually flexible placement takes place and you get a large enough land plot, I can see it being nice then. But, you know, who knows if that's going to happen.
That's right. Yeah, no, we're hoping for any of those stretch goals to come through because they're all so awesome. I want all of them in, so
we need
to get some participation going there. We got some really good threads going about those stretch goals, by the way, so people are pushing on them.
Llama or the mule, llama or the mule.
That's right. You'll need them all, so let's go. Come on. And also, we got Steam access keys available for all soda backers. And so, be sure and look for those. Canceling monthly payment plans. Friendly reminder how to do it. You can research that. Better just to leave it going, though, for the game. And this week in the news, December 26th, massively shrouded the avatars Richard Garriott and Star Long on how soda wins at player-generated content. December 27th. Massively's Perfect 10 new MMOs to watch in 2015. And January 8th, Gamers Nexus, Shroud of the Avatar, trailblazes the future of RPG community involvement. And that's a Richard Garriott interview. All very good stuff I need to look at.
Yeah, I've briefly skimmed some of it, but I really need to go back and spend some time looking at everything.
Yeah, you know, I'm really disappointed that the holiday season is over because going back to work has just been detrimental to my ability to read the forums and catch up on my news, so
yeah, I
got some work to do. And some upcoming events. On January 14th, we have a live dev hangout for the R13 postmortem, so that'll be fun. And then January 29th is Soda at PAX South. January 29th also is release 14. And February 19th is release 15. And March 13th is Soda at SXSW Interactive. And on March 26th is released 16. So lots of good stuff going on.
Definitely. No shortage. I wish I could attend more of the the events that take place in real life, but unfortunately I can't afford all the travel expenses.
Oh, I know. And none of them's even anywhere near where I live, so yeah, it's no fun for me either. I just got to sit and watch the videos that people take, if they take them.
Right.
Yeah, I was kind of jealous myself because I know Rustic Dragon was traveling around a little bit, but he wasn't coming anywhere near me, so I got a chance to meet up with him.
Yeah, he did have a stop off at my place, but he didn't have much of a choice. I was buying more from him than any of the... Had to stop at my place.
Oh, hey, that was a good strategy. You just buy some stuff from him, and he's forced to come over there, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I went with. Well, you know, I was supposed to attend the Hobloth 2, and I didn't make it. Not by choice, but due to weather conditions, my flights got canceled. And the refund of the plane flight instead went toward purchasing a lot of memorabilia from the...
Well, that's a lot better lasting items than visiting, so you've got some actual items to display, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I bought a large majority of the weapons, if you Hobloth 2, the ice sword, fire sword, a couple of the other swords, the shovel, a couple of just the regular one-hander, throwing axes, a lot of that. A lot of that stuff. I'm still in the process, actually, of getting it all.
So it's kind of forced you to reorganize your whole area, though, huh?
Oh, I had a spot to put it. It just, rather than spend 4 or 5 hours working on it, I'm just doing a piece of the day.
No, that's good. It's going to look great once you're done. You'll have a museum in your room.
Yeah, pretty much. It's already looking like that.
That's all. Those are some really cool weapons, too. I was watching that Hoplock event, and man, those are neat looking.
Well, someone else had already bought the staff, so I actually purchased the staff, the same model manufacturer that Rustica bought the staff from, so I got one, but it's not the one that was at the Hoplock. Sort of the same thing with the serpent daggers. So I basically have those, but not the ones that... but all the other weapons bought from him were there. I had him sign them all, authenticate them. If your Hobloth 2 weapon isn't signed, it wasn't at the Hobloth 2.
That's right. That makes it even all the more valuable. That's great.
There were about 4 unique weapons that were at the Hobloth 2 this one, where I was able, and that are discontinued. I won't have the complexion, but I'm pretty close. I wasn't able to get the axe, the flail. I'm trying to remember what the 4th one was. About it.
How did people beat you to it? Did they buy it at Hobloth?
They either bought it at the Hobloth or just for that decision out. My mom had actually been paying for the flight for the trip because she financially just couldn't afford it. It came up at a later date that she saw that he was selling stuff, and she says, "Money to buy some things." But it definitely wasn't immediate, and so as a result, I didn't get in. Right. So there were about 4 or 5 Hobloth 2 weapons that didn't make my collection. The 4th one was the hand. Star had a couple of little foam ninjas. I don't know if he ended up with those or someone else did, but I do know. Well, I can't order those, I see.
Oh, yeah, that's good then. So at least you can get something.
Yeah, basically, I'm putting it all up in the ceiling on bicycle hooks. Clean it real nicely. And I can reach up and pull it down. I do LARPing stuff. Not just core item. It'll see some use.
Oh yeah, for sure. That'll be awesome. And if you ever go to like a Renaissance fair, you could actually probably outfit yourself in some of that.
Yeah, I got plenty of garb. I used to do about 4 Renaissance fairs a year. Kind of stopped doing them because the economy went bad and fairs aren't as good as of all my garb. Thousands and thousands of dollars worth.
So you have like full sets of armor and everything you can wear?
No armor. I do have leather. No metals. Just it gets too heavy and uncomfortable.
Oh, that's for sure, huh? You always throw on a robe and be a mage.
I got this belt that is literally a $275 belt. Pockets. It's all leather pockets all over the place. They go down and they strap on the sides of your legs, and but it's also a belt. It's just all attached. It's just this massive leather work. It's like you're getting into this big harness thing.
Oh, wow. So make sure you carry all your little knickknacks.
Yeah, yeah, I got tired of it. Well, you know, if you're running thing, you don't want to be carrying a bag or a bunch of stuff that doesn't really fit the immersion.
That's true.
I want pouches, and I went with this thing. It's look.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fun. I got some friends that do Renaissance every year, and it's pretty neat to see the pictures.
You'll see me in my garb, actually, for the contest for the special edition of the Avatar Chronicles in contest drawing for that. I have to write all this up and put it all on paper yet, but we fall out. I'm going to do it via Google Hangout. Drawings for the winners on a Google Hangout. I will in garb is the plan. Causes that to change.
Well, that'll be pretty fun. So we'll get to actually see it on live cam. Well, I guess we probably wrap it up.
I agree.
Been awesome stuff here. I'll just take us out. And the awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman and a song entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on a newscast, and thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Style Teagle
with Echoes from the Caverns.